So Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. While you're turning there, let me just say that it's good to be here this morning and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and feel the presence of the Lord as we've worshiped and given Him praise in our singing. And we move into the Word with Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. And this is what the King James says, the Bible says, and this is the King James translation that I'm going to be reading. The King James translation says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." What he is saying is that the results of righteous living, the results of doing the right thing, are a tree of life. And he that And I might just, you know, point out that it says, "He that winneth souls is wise." It could be he or she that winneth souls is wise. Now turn with me, if you will, to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, chapter 12, and verse 3. Chapter 12 and verse 3. And the scripture says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever." In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, "He that winneth souls is wise." In Daniel 12 and 3, "And the wise," those that win souls, "the wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever." The God's Word translation of Daniel 12 and 3 says, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness on the horizon. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever." I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We are going to cease reading from the scripture right there. Ask you to bow your heads this morning and let us pray and ask the Lord for His help in ministering the Word of God, all right? Father, we are thankful today that we have been graced with the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord this morning. We are thankful this morning, Lord, that we have been given the opportunity to come and honor You and worship You and to gather in Your name and to hear Your word spoken to our hearts. I would ask this morning that You would give me divine capability, that You would inspire my thoughts, that You would put Your word in my mouth, and that You would give me a divine capability. I readily admit, Lord, in my own self, I am incapable. You said in Your word, "Without You, we can do nothing," and how well that I am aware of that. Bless me with Your anointing. Bless me to be a blessing. Anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Allow me to lift up Jesus Christ to edify the people of God. And for all of these things, Lord, we will be eternally grateful, and we thank You for them, and we ask them in the mighty and glorious name of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. I want to title my message this morning, "Ready to Share Your Faith." Ready to share your faith. The common thread that are in both of the verses that we have read this morning, the common thread of both of those verses that we read are that those who invest their time in winning souls, or those who invest their time in turning others into the way of righteousness, those that share the good news, those that share the good news of their faith, shall be rewarded for their efforts. We are told in the Word of God that the gospel, or the message of Jesus crucified for our sin, that is God's good news to humanity. Can you say amen? When you study the word gospel and you endeavor to boil it down to the root meaning of the word, in its most rudiment form, the gospel actually means good news. How many of you this morning are thankful for the good news of the gospel? The gospel is good news because to those that heed its call, it brings life and it brings peace to our hearts. It is good news because it brings salvation and restoration to those who are lost. His good news brings joy and rejoicing to the lonely and the hurting and the oppressed. His good news brings light and clarity and understanding to our heart. The Bible said that His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. His word is good news. And I submit to you this morning that if we who are saved and we who have received the grace of God and we that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, if we have been recipients of God's good news, then the Scripture commands us that freely we have received and freely we need to give. Amen. Freely we have received that good news and freely we should share that good news. This morning I want to talk to you about sharing your faith or sharing your relationship with Jesus Christ. Understand this morning that the Word of God not only informs us that we are to keep the faith and we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We're to keep the faith. But also, let me just tell you this morning that the Bible tells us we are commanded to share our faith. We are commanded to share our faith with others. And when it comes to witnessing to others about our relationship with Jesus Christ, I find it amazing all of the excuses that we can come up with. How many of you have ever found yourself in a situation where a door was opened and you could have shared some good news of the gospel and you decided to just keep it to yourself? Hello? We find all kinds of excuses why we cannot share our faith with others. Some of them are on the screen. I need to be more educated. I don't know enough. I don't have all the answers. Can I just tell you this morning, no one has all of the answers. No one has all of the answers. None of us. Some people think I need more experience. I'm not a theologian. I don't have a dramatic testimony. Some people think that you've got to be, you know, pulled up from the very bottom in order to have a testimony of God's grace. Not so. Amen. I don't have the confidence. People will think I'm a fanatic. People will think I'm a Jesus freak. Guess what? I am. But what I'm saying this morning is all too often the Holy Spirit throughout the day will open a door for us to share our faith. And instead of speaking up and standing up, amen, and giving a word for the Lord and being a light that we should be, all too often we find nothing but excuses as to why we should just keep silent. I want to challenge you this morning that God desires for us to share our faith. If we are not careful, we'll find all kinds of reasons that we are insufficient and incapable. But the truth of the matter is this morning that if we are here and we have been saved by the grace of God, and we're here this morning and our lives have been transformed by the cross of Christ, then we must take seriously our responsibility that has been laid upon us to share the good news with someone else. Let me bring you back to the text. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Notice that winning souls is not just the responsibility of the preacher. Notice that winning souls is not just the responsibility of an evangelist. It is not just the responsibility of the Sunday school teacher. Winning souls is not just the responsibility of someone else in the church. He says, he that winneth souls is wise. That word, he, is all inclusive. It means every one of us that have received Christ as our Lord and Savior. It means everyone that has believed. It means whosoever will, male, female, ministry, laity, it doesn't matter. It means whosoever wins souls is wise. Whoever determines in their heart, Lord, I want to reach someone for Jesus Christ. I want to share my faith. Many times I have said, you know, people say, I'm not a preacher. Amen. We don't necessarily need to be a preacher, but we can all be a reacher. We can all reach someone with the good news of God's word. Pastor Gary, I don't know if I have enough to share. Let me just tell you this morning, share what Christ has done in your life. You don't have to be a theologian in order to witness for Jesus. Just share what God has done in your life. Tell them. How many of you know this morning that we will never win a soul to Jesus if we do not share the good news of the gospel? We will never win a soul if we automatically choose to keep our silence. If we are timid and apprehensive when it comes to standing up for Christ, if we are timid and apprehensive about sharing our faith, if we are tentative and hesitant about telling others of his saving grace, and if we are timid and apprehensive about showing others how to walk in the path of righteousness, then we miss an opportunity to let others know that Christ loves them as well. Share his love with them. Share his wonderful mercy with them. Let them know that he loves them. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. Jesus says these words in Matthew 5 and 13. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. And then he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Now listen, here comes the directive. Verse 16. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You may be thinking, Pastor Gary, how does that fit with sharing the good news of Christ? Let me just say that salt influences flavor. Amen? He said, you are the salt of the earth. Light disperses darkness. He said, you are the light of the world. He's telling us that it is our responsibility to live our lives in such a manner that it has impact and influence upon the lives of others around us. He is telling us to allow our light to freely shine so that others cannot resist and cannot help but see the light of God in us. He's telling us that it is our responsibility to share our influence and our light and our responsibility to share our faith with others. You're the salt of the earth. Have enough salt inside you this morning to influence and flavor your surroundings. Hello? You're the salt of it. Let that light that is in you. You are the light of the world. Let that light that is in you shine so that others may see your good works and your good actions and your good deeds and your righteous lifestyle, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 says these words. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled unto himself, reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. Now listen to this next part. He reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. And hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Let that sink in. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he has given to you and to me the ministry of reconciliation. Paul goes on to say, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he hath committed unto us the word, the good news. He's given unto us the word, the good news of reconciliation. And Paul says in the 20th verse, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Do you realize that you are a divine heavenly representative? We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We are standing in God's stead, asking you, beseeching you, to be reconciled unto God. That's our number one priority. We are a divine heavenly ambassador. Our ministry, our number one purpose, our number one priority is to speak and share through our words, our actions, and our deeds the message of the good news of reconciliation with others. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, if God or Christ is hid, it is hid because we hide him within our own life. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to lead them by our deeds and through our example to come into relationship with the Lord. We have been called and instructed to share our faith and to witness for Christ. That's our number one priority. That is our number one calling. And let me just tell you this morning, if you are not passionate about sharing your faith, if you are not fervent about sharing your faith, if you're not impassioned and enthusiastic about giving your testimony to others, let me just tell you, maybe we need to check our own heart. Because the one way that we can tell if our own heart is passionate about Christ is whether or not we are passionate about sharing our faith with others. Hello? If we're not passionate about sharing our faith, maybe we're not passionate about Him. How many of you have found that when you are passionate about something, when you are excited about something, you are excited to tell someone else? Hello? Talk to individuals that are passionate about fishing and what comes out. You can hear the rod and reel singing. Talk to those that are passionate about hunting, and they'll tell you every hunting story they know. Hello? The latest crazed diet. Lost 15 pounds, let me tell you how. What I'm saying this morning is that when we are really passionate about something, we don't have a difficult time talking about it. When we are passionate about something, we don't have a difficult time sharing with others about it. You know why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you have it down on the inside, you won't help but come out on the outside. When you have it passionately down on the inside, amen, then it's going to come out through your words. I don't have to be around you very long until I can find out what you are passionate about. Why? Because your words will tell me what's in your heart. Hello? Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If you are passionate about Jesus and you are passionate about what God has done for you and passionate about His mercy, you're going to want to share that with somebody else. Jesus is simply saying, if you are excited about me and you are excited about your relationship with me, then you will be excited to tell somebody about me. Hello? If He is abundantly abiding in our hearts, then we are abundantly going to speak of Him. Again, let me bring you back to my text. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How many of you know this morning that we have the best news ever? We have received the gospel, the good news of God for humanity. There are individuals this morning, somehow the idea has crept into many churches that people know where we are, and if they want what we got, then they will come and find it. That's not biblical. Jesus said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in to the house of the Lord. Go into the highways and the byways. Be passionate enough about me to not just sit between the four walls and glorify me in your heart, but go out and bring somebody else in. My question this morning is this. Are we passionately endeavoring to win others to Jesus? Are we passionately endeavoring to witness to others about His grace, His mercy? We may all hear this morning, we may all well be on our way to heaven, but are you trying to take somebody with you? Hello? I don't want to just make it myself. I want to take somebody with me. I want to be light and salt and influence and lead someone to the relationship with Jesus Christ so that they know the reality of the Lord. This past week, the Holy Spirit began to lay upon my heart three different reasons that winning souls to Jesus is wise. If you will, I want to just go over those three reasons with you that I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about. Winning souls is wise. Why? Why is winning souls wise? Number one, winning souls is wise because of the value of a soul. Winning souls is wise because of the value of a soul. Pastor Gary, why is a soul valuable? I think we can answer that question just simply by stopping to consider the great lengths that God went, amen, and the great lengths that God has gone to in order to bring redemption to a soul. The value of a soul can be measured by God's concern to save a soul. I mean, you know that God has gone to great lengths in order for souls to be saved. So valuable of a soul, so valuable is a soul that the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward. Get this next part. And not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you catch that? God is saying that a soul is so valuable that He is not willing that even one perishes. And yet they are perishing all around us today. Why? All too often because God's people have failed in their duty to witness and let their light shine. The value of a soul can be seen by the measure of God's concern to save it. How many of you know the value of an item is determined by the price that someone is willing to pay for that item? Let me say that again. The value of an item is determined by the price that someone is willing to pay for that item. Understand that God sees our soul as the most valuable thing in the world, so valuable that He sent His only begotten Son to die upon Calvary's cross for humanity. I'm telling you, if you were the only one that had been alive at that time, Jesus would have died for just you. The Bible says, and I call it the golden text of the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 declares that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The value of a soul this morning can be measured by the price that was paid to redeem it. The value of a soul can be measured by the price that was paid to redeem it. And we need to understand that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate price for you and I to go free. He died upon Calvary's cross, shed his own blood. The price that redeemed us was the price of his blood. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18 says, "For as much as you know, as you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." What is he saying? He's saying that silver and gold did not redeem our soul, but it took the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem us. And God thought we were valuable enough to pay the price. So valuable in the sight of God is our soul that he did not think that the price of the cross was too high for him to pay. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah is looking forward to the cross and he prophesies, "This is the price of our redemption." Talking about Jesus, "He is despised and rejected of men. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted." And then the scripture says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have everyone turned to his own way. And God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth." That is a picture of Christ willingly laying down his life and taking upon himself your sin and my sin, so that we might, amen, take upon ourselves his righteousness. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said, "I'll take your iniquity and your sin, and I'll give you my right standing with God." He willingly laid down his life. So let me just tell you this morning that the value of a soul was worthy of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. According to Jesus, our soul is our most valuable possession. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, verse 37, Jesus said these words, "What shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What Jesus is saying is, if you were handed the world on a silver platter, in exchange for your soul, you would be coming out on the losing end, because your soul is more valuable. So number one, winning souls is wise because of the value of a soul. Understand that when you are light and salt and you are willing to open your mouth and share the good news of the gospel, and you influence others and you bring them into relationship through your example and your love and your act of kindness toward them and your testimony of God's grace. Let me just share with you, amen, when you do that, you are winning a valuable possession to the kingdom of God. You are winning a valuable possession to the kingdom of God. Number two, winning souls is wise because a soul is eternal. A soul is eternal. Let me just share with you this morning that our soul will never die. You are going to live forever. What? I said, you are going to live forever. Oh, your body may die, but your soul will continue throughout eternity. The value of a soul is measured by its eternal quality. Every soul that has ever been brought into the world by God will live forever. The soul of a man or a woman never dies. Let that sink in. Pastor, can you prove that? Let me just share some scripture with you. You remember the story? You'll find it in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through verse 25. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Here's what it says. There was a rich man that fared sumptuously. He was arrayed in fine linen and purple. He was decked out. He fared sumptuously every day. That's old English for, you know, he had whatever he wanted. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which laid at the rich man's gate. And Lazarus begged for the crumbs that would fall from the rich man's table. Lazarus was ill, so ill that the Bible said that the dogs came and licked the sores upon his body. Oh, that's gross. It's desperate. Hello? And then the Bible says, and it clearly tells us this in verse 22 of Luke 16. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died. Lazarus died. And he was carried to the angels, or carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And then the scripture says, and the rich man died also and was buried. I want you to notice that they both died. The Bible clearly says they died. And in hell, verse 23, and in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in a cup of water and put it upon my tongue, because I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham's son said, son, remember in your lifetime, you received your good things. And Lazarus likewise received evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. That little story as told by Jesus reveals to us that both of them died and yet both of them lived. I will just tell you this morning, amen, that they both died in their body, but their soul continued to live, because the soul of man is eternal. When you take your final breath and you breathe your last breath upon planet Earth and somebody sings, turn out the lights, the party's over, I'm going to tell you, you are just stepping from this dimension into another dimension, and your soul will continue to live even as you are alive today in your physical frame. A soul has eternal properties. The winning of a soul is wise because a soul is eternal. It never dies. A soul is eternal. Number three, winning of souls is wise because of the possibilities. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? The possibilities of a soul. What do you mean, the possibilities of a soul? Let me put it another way. Winning souls is wise because the next soul that you witness to just might change the course of a nation. Hello? The individual that led Billy Graham to the Lord no doubt had no idea of the possibilities that lay in his life through the ministry of that man of God. And that ministry continues today because of his son Franklin. The person that was instrumental in leading Greg Laurie to Christ has made a huge impact for the kingdom of God. How about those that led the likes of Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and other great evangelists that have lived in this world? Someone witnessed to them, and they in turn took that message and was light and salt, and they impacted the world. By sharing your faith and sharing your testimony of what God has done in your life, you just may win somebody that will impact the nations. The possibilities of one soul are endless. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples. How about the 12 disciples of Jesus? It was said of the 12 disciples of Jesus that here come those men that have turned the world upside down. 12 individuals began to share the gospel, and Christianity is still growing strong today. All because they had an impact. All because they were light and salt. And all because they were willing to share what they had seen and heard. Let me remind you of one man that believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And that one man, the Bible says, became the father of faith. And the Bible teaches us that all who have received Christ by faith, we are the children of Abraham. You hear what I'm saying this morning? One soul can make a difference, and the possibilities are endless. If you share your faith with others, you have no idea of the impact that it could make in their life and in the lives of others. You sow your testimony. Sow your seed. The Bible said the seed is the word of God. Sow your seed, sow the good news, sow the word of God. And when it comes up, the Bible said that his word will accomplish what it is sent to perform. I'm telling you this morning, when you sow that seed, you have no idea of the harvest that it can bring. When I gave my heart to the Lord and felt like the Lord was calling me into ministry for about 3.5 years. As I studied for ministry, I also worked for the Jim County Weed Control. I have a license to kill your weeds. So I worked for the Jim County Weed Control. I learned an awful lot about seed. Did you know that there are some seed that can lay in the ground for 100 years? I'm telling you. There are some, morning glory is one of them. Morning glory seed is so hard and so dense, they say that it can lay in the soil for up to 100 years and never germinate. And then till the ground. How many of you ever had a bare piece of ground? You tilled it and everything come up morning glory. Right? They say that seed can lay in the ground for up to 100 years and then something comes along and disturbs the soil, whether it is the soil is plowed or whether it's gone over with fire or whatever. Something comes along and disturbs the soil, and that seed that has been in the ground for nearly 100 years will then germinate and sprout. Let me just tell you, when you plant the incorruptible seed of God's word in the lives of someone, you may never see the end result, but if you'll just plant the seed, trust God for the outcome, he'll bring the harvest. Our job is just to plant seed. That's what I'm here for. My job is just to plant seed. My job is just to tell somebody about the goodness of God. My job, my number one priority is to let my light shine, lead others to Him, lead others to, amen, His righteous ways. My job, by my example and by my encouraging word, my job, amen, is just to encourage others to come into relationship with Him and to plant the seeds of the gospel in their life and leave the harvest up to the Lord. Winning souls is wise because of the value of the soul, because a soul is eternal, and because of the possibilities that lie within that soul, that individual's life. I'm going to read one more scripture, and then I'm going to let you go this morning. Psalms 126, verse 5 and verse 6. This is what it says. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth weeping and bearing precious seed, I like this part, shall doubtlessly, ain't no doubt about it, shall doubtlessly come again rejoicing, bringing his harvest with him. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise that when we plant, when we go forth bearing precious seed, you have precious seed down on the inside of you. You have the good news. You have the gospel in your heart. You go forth bearing precious seed, the seed of God's word. And when we plant that seed, we will doubtlessly return bringing a harvest with us. I want to stand. I want to stand in eternity before the Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." But I do not want to stand there alone. I want to be able to say, "And these are those that came with me. And these are those that came along with me." How many of you this morning want to stand before the Lord, amen, and just have Him see those that you witnessed and testified to and brought into relationship? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. What I'm saying this morning, and I close with this, we must be committed. We must be committed to share our faith. We must be concerned for others and share our faith. We must be consistent and share our faith. We must be confident and share our faith. Don't keep the good news to yourself. Don't keep the good news to yourself. He is light. He is love. He is mercy. He is gentleness. He is kindness. He is long-suffering. He is a Father worthy to have. Share Him with others. Let others know. Let others know of the difference that God has made in your life through Christ Jesus. Are you ready to share your faith? Are you ready to share your faith? Put all of the excuses aside. Put all of the excuses aside. Jesus said to His disciples that the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few. And He said, "Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the field to reap the harvest." That's what we're called to do. We're called to work. Somebody said, "Oh, I thought I was going to get saved and just sit down on a seat and do nothing, whittle on a stick of doolittle and sing, 'I shall not be moved.'" Nope. He called us to be laborers in His field. Let us be busy about our Father's business. Let us be busy about being light and salt and a mouthpiece for the Lord and lead someone to Him. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus, grateful we are, O God, for your love and your mercy, your goodness and your grace to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have called us and made us a part of your work here on planet Earth. You have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You have given us the word of reconciliation. You have given us the word, the good news of the gospel to share with others. Help us to be wise with that good news. Help us not to just keep it to ourselves, but help us, O Lord, that in every way, in everything that we do and in everything that we say, that it may point the way to you so that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, that the kingdom may grow and expand, that in that day when we stand in your presence, we will not stand alone, but we will be bringing our harvest with us. Help us to see that eternal plan. Help us to see that eternal plan today. In Jesus' name, every head bowed and every eye is closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I haven't been so diligent about letting my light shine. Haven't been so diligent about being light and salt and witnessing to others. I've just been content to be on my way to heaven while there are those around me who are perishing. God sees that hand. God sees that hand. God sees that hand there and that and there. Pastor Gary, I haven't been as diligent about testifying to others and witnessing to others as I should be or could be. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. Here's what I want us to do this morning. Stand to your feet. There have been hands lifted here this morning. Many of us feel like we have coming up on the short end of the stick. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray, God, thank you for making me mindful of my neglect. And Lord, if you will open a door, if you will open an avenue for me to speak this coming week and share a testimony and share my faith with someone, I will open my mouth and I will speak and I will be that salt and that light. I will be that salt and that light by the way that I live and the way that I conduct myself, and the words that I speak will become weighty because of our example. Right now, I just want you to begin to pray, God, give me an opportunity to right my wrong, to right my neglect. Give me an opportunity to share you with others. And if you will give me that opportunity, Lord, this coming week, I will fail not to open my mouth. They may think I'm a Jesus freak. They may think I'm, you know, whatever. They may think I'm a fanatic. But Lord, I love you, and I will testify to others of your grace, your mercy, and your love so that they may have an opportunity to come into relationship with you. Let me pray corporately for the church. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for these individually, but I also pray for Elevation Worship Center corporately. Help us to be about our Father's business. Help us to understand that the time is short. Help us to look around us and see that there are those who are outside of fellowship with you. There are those that are lost and are perishing along the road of life, and all the while we have the good news and the answer within us, and that answer is you. Help us to strive more than ever to win souls for the kingdom of God, to bring others into covenant relationship with Jesus, that they may know your love and your mercy and your grace. Lord, give us opportunity to be salt and light in the community of Emmett. Give Elevation Worship Center opportunity to be salt and light, to spread the message of your grace and your goodness to others, to show others the right, the righteousness, and the path of righteousness of our God. Allow us, O God, to shine brightly like a city that is set up on a hill, so that others may see our good work and glorify not us, but our Father which is in heaven. That they will look upon our lives and say there's something different about that group. Bless us to be a blessing, Lord. We ask all of these things in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. And we will give you praise and give you thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, come and sing.